Okay, we're up to Kuf Chav Gimel, Sif Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel, which are easy, and Sif Yud Aleph, on which a lot of the contemporary issues revolve, and that's why we have this the manual here. We did Yud Aleph. We ended with the grape wine. We talked about grape wine at the end of Yud Aleph last week. So Yud Beis. We're going to learn Yud Beis, Yud Gimel rather quickly. Yud Dalid is the Sif. Yud Beis, Chav is Shepina Shmarav, a Chav is from which the sediment was removed, the Shich Shecham B'mayin, and it was rinsed out with water, and Lachush Achakach L'shum Maga, L'fisha Yayim Batel B'mayim Shishich Shepahem. The original rinsing out takes out the wine, and whatever remains, the slight taste of wine in the water is bottle. Now this sif is essentially the only shverakat might be that it's pashut, because wine is bottle echad b'shisha. And for now we're going to leave it that way, and we move on to sif yud gimel.
What extent is wine?
Obviously less than a 60th if it's the residual wine in the bottle, in the barrel. Yud gimel charasim. Okay, there was something called cheras hadaryani. So called because Hadaryonis Kaser was the inventor. I don't know if he invented it, but he pretended that he did. And the Gemara says that when the soldiers went to battle, it's very good to get a soldier drunk before he goes out to war, because then he's not as afraid. And he would want them to have plenty of wine to drink before they went out to battle. Now it's a schlepping wine. So he created something called Cheres Hadaryoni, which the way Rashi explains it, they mixed wine with mud and made a piece of clay out of it. But the clay wasn't baked in an oven. The clay was dried. And that clay, when it was carried out to the scene of war, before battle, they would throw it into water. And the yayin shabai would dissolve into the water, and it would become wine. Now, cheres hadaryoni was mentioned at the end of the Ramah in Sif Hei. It said, the last words were, the kolshkeidim naga b'cheres habalua miyayin. It said that if cheres has wine absorbed in it, and a guy touches that cheres, so the last words of Sif, of the Ramban Sif Hei was that that's mutter, and the Rabbi Kiva Eger also at the bottom said, afilu b'cheres hadaryoni. So there we said, that if you have cheres hadaryoni, it's not wine. If a guy touches cheres hadaryoni, he doesn't make it yayin nesa. Here in Sif Yud Gimel, we say something different. Here we say cheres shabalu yayin shaloi dekechavim harbe. A cheres which was beleya.
What's a taichu? Is there a good word for cheresu?
Cheres is clay. Clay that's absorbed with the wine of a non-Jew. Harbe with much. Ashek shayinayim b'mayim paltin yainam. To the degree that if you throw it into water, it would be pilot yayin. Asurim bahana. It's also bahana. Now this is not a stira to Sifhei. Sifhei is though was made with the yayin of Yisrael. It's made with the yayin of a yid, kasha wine. Once the wine goes into cheres, a guy touches it, nothing happens, right? Even if you mix in dvash or pilpulin, once it's kosher, it stays kosher. Here we're talking that it was treif. Once it's treif, mixing in dvash and pilpulin doesn't help. And putting it into cheres hadaryoni also doesn't help. So Sif Yud Gimel is pashut, except that the Shach in Chaf Hei says a chiddush, which is a Gemara. Chaf Hei asurim bana isa b'shas da aser lismaich bai karei hamita. Now here we're all challenged to explain this. It says here that this cheres which absorbed the wine is aser b'hana. If you want to use this piece of clay to, you have a bed and the four legs are not even, it's wobbly. So you want to stick something under one leg to make it stable. So you're not allowed to use this cheres because you're having anah from the wine when you stick in the cheres. And zok tishach ulefizeh koshkein da'asa losum behem shum davar. You're not allowed to put things in it because you pay reservation. You have this clay made into a piece of, into a bowl. You're not allowed to put fruits into it, okay, Gardner. The Chenu Mitaisa Shom. V'loi dami lita el simit tzadik dal sif gimel. The mutter lasam davar tzayin and mikelem shenasu basa v'chalo. If a keli that's absorbed with basa b'chalav, there's no iser to put peiris. You have a tray for kli. You're allowed to put peiris in. Why? So you're not having enough of the basa b'chalav. You're having enough from the kli. This bowl was just as good a bowl before the basa b'chalav went in and after went in. There's no enough of basa b'chalav when you put the fruits into the bowl. So it's mutabana. Mashenk and cheres hadaryani. Our understanding is that somehow the wine is the guf of the kli. That when you mix this wine, a lot of wine, with the chere, with the mud, and make a keli out of it, that the guf of the kli, the cheres of the kli, is partially the wine. And that therefore you're having enough from the wine. All the wine is liquid and it doesn't hold up beds. Nevertheless, when it's nikrash and it becomes hard here in the mixture, it's an issue. So this is a chiddush, that the wine in the cheres hadayani makes the guf of cheres hadayani aser. But alright, it's a gemara. I guess there was a certain recipe they have for cheres hadayani. It's true, but that's the gemara lamed beis. It's cheres hadayani. The Bera Gaila Mishnah Avodah Zarah Chav Tes Cheres Hadayani. We have to know if it's made for wine. Well, we don't care if the guy has enough from it, even if the barrels would be asavan. No, if we only care if the whiskey is asavan. The guy's allowed. I'm not using the keli. The Jew's not going to use a tray for keli. The guy who's making the whiskey is using a tray for keli. Right? Well, I'm only concerned about the dinner of the whiskey. I don't make Southern Comfort. The guy makes it. He's allowed to have enough for whatever he likes. Right? The guy's not us to have it.
Yeah, only good science.
Right. Okay, so that's if you give them. What? Okay, Sifya Dalet. And here we get, for the first time in this entire siman, we're talking about yayin of a guy. Till now, it was yayin of a Jew, you cooked it, it's mutter. It's yayin of a Jew, you put in vashu pilpul in, it's mutter. Yayin of a Jew, you freeze it, it's mutter. All the cases we had till now were a Jew's wine that was changed, and the question is whether the rules of a guy touching it apply, even as if tests. Well, we talked about water put onto the sediment or the grape skins. We were talking about kosher wine. You put water on the grape skins, so the shaila is, at what point is it called yayin, and what point is it? For the first time here in Sifya Dalet, we're going to discuss a heter that involves the grape skins or the sediment, which is treif, which is the subject of two of the products that are made today, which each product has a certain amount of controversy over. One is the grapeseed oil, which is made from grape seeds, from chartzanim of trefa grape juice production. And those grape seeds are dried and used. We're going to have to see, learning Sifya Dalet, what the criteria are for using it. And we'll see exactly what the tumul is, why, even though they are mekilim, why they need a heter for it. We'll see. There's a second product, which is sif tezayin, which is very closely connected to yadali, grolan et ches connects the two, there's a second product called cream of tartar or tartic acid, which is made not from the chetzan of vizogim, but from the, we'll call it the shmarim. It's not entirely accurate shmarim, we'll see, but made from the sediment of non-kosher wine. And also, the national organizations are matir, and we'll see what the heter is based on. It's a pretty solid heter. The only shaila is, if there's room to say, bal nefesh yachmer al atzman. That's our only question. The basic heter is going to be pretty clear. Now, what we should do at this time is take out this manual. I hope there are enough copies. I just made a handful more. It would be good to read the whole thing. I can't tell you to catch everything that's of importance, but there are a few things here that are significant, and this is pretty safe, whatever it says here. It doesn't go into any of the controversies too much, but here. Now, the first page, I think, is basically well known to us, the question of wine vinegar. We move on to the second page. First, Hamshacha. Now, the paragraph before Hamshacha says there are two common items in this category, that is, things that have come from wine but are not wine, which are not prohibited stam yeinam despite their origin. Okay, the OU is saying that these two products are mutter despite the fact that they come from non-kosher facilities that make grape juice. The first of these is cream of tartar and tartaric acid. I mispronounced, I said tartic acid. Tartaric acid. These substances are derived from the sediment which collects in the bottom of the wine casks. There are footnotes here, which is on the last page. When I made the copies quickly, I left out that page. Anybody who wants, who has my copies, I can give it to you later. The second is grapeseed oil. The oil is extracted from grape pits left over from wine pressing. If the pits have been properly dried before the oil is pressed, there's no prohibition of stam yeinam on the resulting product. So that's the crucial thing, properly dried, and we're going to learn in Sif Yudalid what exactly that means, properly dried. Now, Hamshacha. Hamshacha is an important idea. The question of when grape juice becomes usur. I mentioned to you last week that if you go into a store and you buy grapes, and the grapes are in a container, and somehow they were piled one on the other, and some of the grapes became a bit squashed, and you have grape juice in the bottom of the container, that grape juice is mutter. There's no yayin nesach on that. In order to get it in wine, it needs hamshacha. What is hamshacha? The prohibition of stam yeinam begins once the grapes are crushed, and hamshacha takes place. Prior to that time, a non-Jew's handling of the grapes or grape juice does not make these products non-kosher. Conversely, after hamshacha, if a non-Jew handles either the juice or remaining grape matter, that's important, those substances receive the character of stam yeinam and become forbidden. Now, it's actually Machlokes Rishonim, he's bringing the psak. You take a quick look in Sif Yud, which we did last week at the end of the day. Yesh li zoher, melohetzi chatzanim v'zogim mehagitais aideve kechavim. It says here you should be careful not to remove the remaining pits and grape skins out of the press through a guy. You squeeze the wine in a second pressing, and what you're taking out is just the grape peels, the grape skins, and the pits. Once hamshacha has taken place, even the grape juice, which is still mixed or on the surface of the grape skins, is also asur. And that's what he's writing here in the conversely. Conversely, after hamshacha, the non-Jew handles either the juice or the remaining grape matter, those substances receive the character of stam yeinam and become forbidden. What is hamshacha? Hamshacha occurs when the juice is separated from the grapes and pits and collected in an area distinct from the pulp and remaining whole grapes. And we're going to learn about this probably next week in Sif Yud Zayin, what exactly constitutes a separation. This generally happens when juice is pressed out of the grapes and drained off. It can, however, take place before the wine pressing. And at any time some juice is taken from the mass of grapes brought in for wine pressing and removed to a separate distinct place, hamshacha occurs. When this happens, both the liquid that has been removed as well as the entire remaining mixture receive the halachic definition of yayim and become forbidden if handled by a non-Jew. Now this is an extraordinary chumrah, which we pass like this chumrah, but in practical terms it makes a problem, and he gives an example, a practical application of these principles is given in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, this is referring to Sif Yud Ches. If the juice has been pressed from grapes but not drained off, so right now everything's mutter. You have grapes, you throw them into a barrel, and you pressed on the barrel. You're allowed to have a guy push and press and do everything he wants. It's fine. It's still mixed. There was no hamshacha. It's still in the barrel, so you can have guy pressing it and pushing it and squeezing out the grape juice. still mutter. However, if the juice of a press on grapes was not drained off, and a non-Jew touches the resulting mixture of juice and grapes, no prohibition of stam yeinam has been created. This is because no hamshacha has yet occurred. If, however, someone took a cup and filled it with some of the juice in the mixture, being careful to exclude all pits and solid grapes from the cups, from the cup, and then removed the cup filled with liquid from the mixture, hamshacha has occurred. That means you have a guy. He's pressing your grapes, stomping on it, he's pressing it with his hands, whatever he's doing. He's thirsty. So he takes a cup and he drains it. You know, you take some vegetable soup. You don't want the vegetables, just the soup. So you push the cup down a little under the liquid level and you drain off just the liquid. That one cup of grape juice is a hamshacha for everything in that barrel, everything in that container.
You mean if he has no permission?
If, we'll have to see, if a non-Jew now handles either the separated liquid in the cup or the remaining mixture in the press, those items become prohibited because of the law of stam yeinam. That's a good question. If he does it without rishus, if he could ask Hashem or Shaloi, we'll have to see.
If he drains off,
just a cupful. Yeah, if he takes it with the pits, then it's not a mishalta. Okay? Now, this is hamshacha. The idea of hamshacha is very important in the production, and we're going to talk about that at some point.
In fact, that yain stuff, isn't it something deraisa? The guy, you can have a joy that is bigger than the something deraisa.
We're going to have to, at some point, come into a discussion as to whether sfeikus of yain nesach have a din of something deraisa, because in its yisoid, the chashash is that he did it l'avodah zarah. Or it's the case of Safed Rabbanan, because we really don't have Goyim that are Menasech Lavay Dezara, and therefore it would seem to be a Shai Levinis of Rabbanan. The question is, if such a Rabbanan, which is because of a Dereisa, has a din of Safed Dereisa L'chumra, and in the meantime we're gonna leave that. But certainly, if you're giving a Hechsher, this makes it necessary to have a Hechsher from the crush, from the time that you crush it, because of a Chashash of Hamshach. Hamshacha is to draw it. When you pull an animal, that's your meishach, you pull it. So you draw it out, you draw out the wine, that's hamshacha. Typical hamshacha is when it runs, there's a press, and then there's a sliding pond, and then there's a pit into which the wine gathers. When you pull it down, that contraption, it runs down a contraption, usually there's a basket today, a strainer, about halfway down, which catches the pulp that's with it and separates it.
And
if you remember, next week I'll bring in some pictures of this as well. The pushing down by itself is not a problem. When he releases the liquid from the mixture, that makes it into one. Okay, now we're going to skip for the next thing has nothing to do with this sif. Let's turn to wine production. Very interesting how wine production takes place. And then we're going to get to the shaila that we're dealing with today. Wine production. Grape juice becomes wine when it ferments. Okay, page 4. It says page 4 of 8 on tap.
The second direction.
Hamshacha, it's a din d'oraisa, it's not an is d'oraisa. It defines the yayin. Okay. Grape juice becomes wine when it ferments. Fermentation changes the sugar in the juice into alcohol. Fermentation is, again, when the whatever organisms are put into the wine change the sugar, they consume the sugar, and they change it into alcohol, they release alcohol. All grape juice has naturally occurring yeast in it, which left to themselves will ferment that juice into wine. All that is necessary for this to happen is to leave the juice in warm conditions so that the yeast have time to grow. The word yeast is plural or singular? So that the yeast have time to grow. This is the only way wine was made until modern times. Wine from different areas tastes differently because of the different varieties of yeast present in the same type of grapes grown in different regions. Every wine from the same vineyard can taste differently from year to year, depending on the fermentation activity of yeast in any particular year. Of course, different varieties of grapes will always make different types of wine. Now, that's a problem. They don't want... You're going to buy wine the names of the wines typically are names which are related to the place in which the regions are. Now, if you get used to wine tasting a certain way, you want it to be consistent year to year. So this is what they do. Listen to this. In order to standardize wine production, modern wineries do not rely on the fermentation caused by the naturally occurring yeast found in grape juice. They rather put sulfides into the juice after pressing to kill whatever yeast is present in the juice. They then keep the juice at cool temperatures to make sure no airborne yeast or microbes get into the juice. Finally, when they're ready to make wine, they add the specific strains of yeast desired to make the wine according to their specifications. So I guess this is why there's sulfites in our wine. They put in the sulfites to kill the naturally occurring organisms, and they add whatever they want. When grape juice is made, the pressed juice is kept at cool temperatures to avoid fermentation until bottling. Juice is placed into the bottle, sealed and heated. This ensures that while the bottle remains sealed, no fermentation will occur, and the juice will not become wine. When you heat it, you kill any organism. Once the bottle is opened, it must be kept refrigerated, or else it may pick up airborne yeast and ferment into wine. There's a very interesting thing that I wasn't aware of, that the idea of the grape juice spoiling is because it may pick up airborne yeast and ferment into wine. You know that it becomes sour. But the point is that Chazal were very makbid on recovering wine bottles. And not leaving, it's a not well known halacha. But if you leave a wine bottle uncovered just for the meal, leave it on the table, it's uncovered the entire meal. You're not supposed to use that wine for kosher bracha lechatchila. It's not possible for the other. Lechatchila, if it's left open, it's considered inferior wine. And one is not supposed to use it. You're supposed to pour the wine and recover it.
How long?
I don't know how long exactly it is, but the importance of recovering it according to this, if the hochshash is going to pick up airborne yeast, we can understand. I mean, I don't see any airborne yeast in this room, but if the chshash is, it's going to pick up airborne organisms, so we understand they paid it to cover. My father, Olav Shalom, was makbid. He wouldn't make kiddush until he reclosed the bottle of wine. I don't know if I asked him why, he'd say that's what his father did. But before you make kiddush, you close the bottle. That's they're two totally different things. There it's possible. That's a psul. And this is a lechatchila. That's a psul, and this is not a psul. Yayin that's also mishum gilo is possible for yayin to use. You're not supposed to drink it at all. And it was just left open. You know they have no snakes. Because they have no snakes.
It's true, but
I think they're two separate dinim. Maybe it's the same halacha. I don't think so. All I know about sulfites is that they're added to kill the naturally occurring bacteria. And I don't know. I know that people are allergic to sulfites. We buy organic grape juice. The organic grape juice spoils very quickly. It spoils in hours. What? Oh, the sulfites are not supposed to change the taste. They may incidentally, but they're not the vashu pilpulin that have a major change.
How do they make grape juice? Grape juice, how do they kill
the bacteria. Right.
How can you make kiddush on it?
If you make kiddush on things that don't ferment, why? Why can't you make kiddush on things that don't ferment? So what? So why can't you make kiddush? Okay. Once the wine experts say you do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Now turn please to the next page, page 4. Okay.
So, if this is true, why are some wines $20 and some wines $200?
Why do some doctors charge $50 and some doctors charge $500? There's a bigger demand, that's all. I don't know. I have no idea why any. more. I don't understand why anybody would spend that kind of money on a bottle of wine.
That's the real shy about.
Now, if wine is cooked, I'd like to point out there is one technical mistake here on page 3. One second. Okay, I was reading page 4. Yeah, go back to page 3. It's restapled wrong. Just by Yayim Avushal, I'm going back to page 3. If wine is cooked, it becomes Yayim Avushal. The wine can no longer become Stam Yayin when touched by an Anjou. There's different opinions as to what temperature the wine must reach in order to be considered Yayim Avushal. Now, Moshe Feinstein states that once wine is heated to 165 degrees, it becomes Mavushal. Of the Zohar, you mentioned boiling point of 212 or near it. You have this follows the opinion of Ramesha. Now, I just want to correct this. I mentioned to you at the time that we saw Yayim Avushal that Ramesha's Tshuva says 165. I don't know why. The OU in their published things, obviously not this one, say 175. Rav Belsky pointed out there are two Tshuvas in the Gizmesha. One mentions 165 and one mentions, I think it's 175 or maybe it's even 180. And Rebelsky writes that the OU follows the more chomer de kashita, not 165, but I think it's either 175, 180, and it's mentioned in the second shuva. Okay, so that's just a technicality. Ramesha got to it. His cheshbon was, it said by Yayim Avushal, it said on the side of the page that it has in the shaft that it has to be an amount that the yayin is nisma'it through the bishul. Ramesha says that Yayim Avushal, over, I don't know, a period of time, will lose 10%. And he holds that 10% generally is considered nir amatzah. 10% is significant, and that's enough. Now, the wine crush, still on page 3.
What's the
difference between the technical? Yeah, evaporates more rapidly. Each, as you increase the heat, the amount of evaporation increases. The shach said, well, alcohol evaporates. The alcohol evaporates at a lower temperature. Grape juice is probably higher.
What's happening at 175?
It evaporates. Scientifically speaking, room temperature water also evaporates. You leave it, it's eventually going to evaporate. But Rabbi Shaul says it has to evaporate an amount that's nicker. He mentions 10%. He doesn't mention the amount of time, so it's a little confusing. What amount of time? If you leave it long enough, a puddle in the street also evaporates. So the tshuva doesn't spell out the way Ramesha went about coming to his conclusion, but he says that it's based on an evaporation percentage.
Well, if it says 180, would you the same reason? Ramesha just said that takes place at 165, so whatever.
Yeah, the ones that say 212 are near their hold, that the word that Chazal use refers to bubbling. They argue her siach means it comes to a boil. Ramesha shows from Gemaris with his Bekiyas that resicha is used in Shas now when it comes to a boil. It's not mala resicha, it's marsiach, means it gets hot. So Ramesha rejects it, but there are those who hold that it has to come to a boil. Again, I mentioned the week that you weren't here, I think. If all grape juice is Yayim Avushal, that confused me. How could it be that Kedem has the glass bottle as Yayim Shayim Avushal? If it's not Avushal, it's going to turn into wine. So what I found out was that they boil that as well. They just boil it below either the 165 or 175. They heat it, not boil it, right? And in heating it, it's adequate to prevent, to kill the bacteria, but not such that it turns into halachic yayin levushal. So that's what they do. Now the wine crush, it's interesting. Wine is produced from the juice of grapes. Grapes are harvested and taken to a winery. Typically the grapes arrive at the winery in boxes. Now obviously the way they arrive is going to be very important. Not to sift your dalid, but we talk later about getting hasherim on factories. But at the moment, they arrive in boxes. A forklift picks up the boxes, drops the contents into a destemmer. Why do you think it's called the destemmer? Takes off the stem. The machine pulls the stem off the grapes. The resulting mixture of grapes and juice, which is known as must, also named after a popular chewing gum, is then pumped onward to a holding tank. Now, what is important, not for this week, but for next week or the week after, is that human beings don't actually touch it. It's thrown into the destemmer, and then, as they say, pumped into a holding tank after the stem is removed. Grape juice is naturally colorless. That means that wine made from it will be clear, or what is known as white wine. If red wine is being produced, a special step is added at this point. So all of us who thought that if you squeeze green grapes, you get green wine, if you squeeze red grapes, you get red wine, that's not so. The inside of the grape is not red. So he says, first of all, only red grapes are used. The must is then sent from the destemmer to a heat exchanger. The heat extracts the red color from the grape skins and puts that color into the juice. When the juice will be pressed, it will now be red. Well, so this is done when it's still must, when it's still a mixture of chatzan and zogim and grape juice. Right. Alternatively, the must can be left and allowed to naturally ferment. The fermentation will naturally extract the red color of the skin into the juice. The second method was the one used prior to modern machinery. It's not as commonly used today as it once was. When white wine is desired, these steps are omitted. So let's try to remember. You have the destemmer, and now the heat exchanger, which is for red wine. Next, the must is now sent to the press, and some wineries' paper is added to the must before pressing. The paper gives the must more body so that the press can extract the juice more easily. Very interesting. It also serves to filter the juice. In other wineries, paper is not used. These wineries use centrifuge, a more efficient press, to extract the juice. Enzyme is added to the must before pressing. The purpose of this is to de-pectinize the juice. In addition, sulfur at this point to kill the native yeast and juices. Pectin is a naturally sweet product. And I suppose they want it to be less sweet. All right, go to page 5 now. So we have the three steps: the destemmer, the heat exchanger, and then the press, where enzyme is added to help with the press. Now, halachic issues. As I mentioned earlier, there are two steps in the halachic issues that we're going to have to deal with as we learn Hilchos Yayin Nezer. Now, page 5 deals with what is just not first in Shulchan Aruch, and therefore we're going to leave it. You can read it later. This deals with how to give a hechsher on a factory. I called the OU and I asked, I got a friend of mine from Yeshiva who's in charge, two people in charge of the production, and he told me there are 5 or 6 factories in which kosher grape juice is made. That doesn't mean retail available grape juice. I haven't seen there very many brands, but kosher grape juice is made in the sense that the product is used later to produce either cream of tartar or grape seed oil, whatever. I shouldn't say that. The grape seed oil and cream of tartar is something else. But there's something called grape skin extract, which is made from kosher grape juice. Again, grape skin extract or grape flavoring that's made from grapes is made only from kosher grape juice. It's one sug of a hechsher issue. Separately, there's grape seed oil and cream of tartar, which is made from non-kosher grape juice. That's not made from the grape juice, but from non-kosher factory that makes grape juice. So there are two separate big discussions. Now the discussion of how to go into a factory that has goyim and give a hechsher and produce grape flavoring, that's not Sifri Dalim, that's not Sifri Zayin. We're going to push that off. That's page 5, discusses it. It's an interesting topic. It's a much more difficult topic than the one that we're going to deal with. So for now, we're going to put aside page 5. Those of you who have your own Shulchan Aruch, save these. We're going to come back to it, and we'll get to it. The issues that we have has to do with the... with the second issue, the things made from the non-kosher product. Now here, he talks about, okay, the whole page 5 and 6, let's see, 7, deals with, like I said, the more difficult issue of making kosher grape juice. Where does he talk about the grapeseed oil? He did talk about it at some point.
Does Kerem still have these tours? Maybe go on a trip?
I think they have it online.
Wine tasting.
Yeah,
Yes, I did. I got to.
He just mentioned it. On page 2, he mentioned
that. Page 2, where? Okay, at the top of page 2, he mentions things made from yayin stam yayinam, which is still forbidden. He says includes ordinary ethyl alcohol made from distilled wine. In the second case, things made from grapes is a grape pulp, if the grapes have been crushed for wine production, fall under the category of stam yayinam, even if they are not themselves wine. This means grape juice and grape juice concentrate is considered to be stam yayinam. In addition, grape skins and pits, after the wine crushing, are forbidden as stam yayinam. This means that things like cognac and grape flavors, which are made from sources, some such sources, also fall into the category of stam yayinam. Even grape puree, which is crushed grape pulp used to make jam and jelly, may fall under the prohibition of stam yayinam, as discussed later. Then he says there are two common items in this category which are not prohibited as stam yayinam, despite their origin, and this is what I'm going to learn now. The first of these is cream of tartar and tartaric acid. Where does it come from? These substances are derived from the sedum which collects on the bottom of the wine casks. The second is grapeseed oil. The oil is extracted from grape pits left over from the wine pressing. If the pits are properly dried while it's pressed, there's no precious stam yayinam resulting product. We're going to deal with this. What is this? We learned that once you do amshacha, everything is aser, even what remains in the original press. How can we go now and make grapeseed oil from it? So Sif Yudalid tells us how to make kosher grapeseed oil, and let's see how it applies to us. Sif Yudalid, hachatzanim v'zogim shaloi dekechavim, a non-Jew's pits or grape skins. The chen shmari yayin shalem, something with sediment. Toich yud beis chaydeh shasurim bahanah. Within 12 months, you're not allowed to use it. La'achar yud beis chaydeh mutarim afilu ba'achila. After 12 months have passed, you're allowed to eat the grape skin. V'hani mili, on one condition. Now this hani mili is a machlekes rishayinim. I think the Rambam in Taisvis. He paskins hani mili kishetimdam b'mayim b'tchila. So you need two things, the Mechaber says. Timdam b'mayim. That means you have to take the remaining grape skins and pits and soak them in water so that the water cleans them of any grape juice left inside. And then you have to wait yud beis chaydish. And once you wait yud beis timdam plus yud beis chaydish, there's no shaylah. If you take grape seeds and you soak them in water so that the wine gets out of them, and then you wait 12 months, you make grapeseed oil, nobody would argue that it's mutter, it's a ferish of a chaber. If you pull out the peels before you do amshacha, like we'll have later, then it's mutter. Now, we don't do that because they want to press it. If they didn't, it would be mutter. V'chein elu shadarchen ha'anavim b'chavis. Somebody who doesn't learn these halachas will go to a plant and he'll see goyim, it's a barrel full of grapes, and the goyim are pressing it, and he sees the grape juice floating on the top. He's going to make a tumult, we'll put it in the paper, you know, investigate it, this is what I found. But it'd be an amoretz, because calls a man, you don't do amshacha. The Rama says, well, even if the yayin safa layim, it's still mutter. What?
Isn't taking the chatzan off amshacha?
No, taking a few chatzanim out is not amshacha.
Amshacha
is separating the liquid, not separating the solid.
Oh, that's why you said
yep. Now,
tamid means that you soak it, or you
timdan means you make temet. Temet is by soaking.
So you have to soak it. So soaking. Not just the rinse.
Not a rinse, right, you soak it.
So what is the INS?
For the grape skins and the pits. They dry over the 12 months.
If you're concerned about the INS, you'll say, well, the ingredients have waited 12 months and there's only INS.
Oh, so that's a good cash. So this is the kasha that the whole thing turns on. What does the 12 months do? If you take treifus and you wait 12 months, it doesn't turn into kosher. What does the 12 months accomplish? Now, based whatever it accomplishes is the shiloh, because today nobody wants to wait 12 months. Nobody has time in America. Not going to wait 12 months. Today, they have a process by which they dry the chatzarim v'zogin rapidly, in a more rapid way. So the question is, what does the 12 months have to accomplish, and does the chemical method of drying it accomplish the same thing? For that, we have to learn a Shach and a Dogel Mervava, who discuss exactly this. Shach Ravav. Now, listen carefully to the Shach. Kosev Beis Yosef B'Shem Archas Chayim. Im Sarfon. I feel a typhoid based chaydish. If you were to burn these grape skins and pits, afron mutter, the ashes are permissible. Now, if you burn Isui Hanah, the ashes are awesome. It says if you burn, this is quoting the Beis Yosef, if you burn grape skins, the ashes are mutter. Frek the shach, vetika dakamashim. Vitzarachian, horavasim, ereshna mekosav, the bestam yenam kaimalon. The Afron Osir, Kamayatse Avedic Sechavim, the Kamansim Kufman Beis, Kemu Shasper Bazavedic Zara. He doesn't have a teretz. So we have here a Beis Yosef that says that if you burn it, it's mutter. I would say, why is it mutter? Well, I would think that as much as it dries in waiting 12 months, it dries just as much if you burn it till it turns to ashes. I think we all agree. So the Shach says, Beis Yosef is Mekel. Why is he Mekel? Within Yud Beis Chaydish, it should be Osir, even if you burn it and turn it into Efer. So the Dogel Mervava, which is Nayi Yehuda, answers. And the Pischei Tshuva brings the Sefer Tiferes L'Maisha, who answers the same. And he says that there's a big difference. He says, you see Dogel Mervava? Divrei HaBeis Yosef Nechayinim, V'chol, next page, Chol Divrei Shach Temuim. Beis Yosef is right, the Shach is wrong. The Shom beGemara Koyelin Yechitim Shalachom B'Shecha Yayin Nesech Imkein Achitim Nesru Bahana. There it's talking about kernels of wheat which are Asa Bahana Lachen Gam Afron Asa. If you have something that's Isurei Ana and you burn it, the ashes are Asa. Lachen Arivash Mayilin Yayin Nesech Estam Yeno Baatzman Linyan Hayayin Sraf Anasa Mezeis Hayayin Va'isur Shom Arivash. He had something made from the wine itself. The zeyah of the ayin is the same as the efer. Avol shmarei ayin. But when you're talking about sediment or grape skins, hashmarim ba'atzman ein behem iser. The grape skins or the sediment are not osir. V'chol iser shemben hu lachluchis yayin ha'moriv behem. What's osir is only the mixture of wine in them. Ulechein laharbe paiskim acha yud bechaydish mutarim. Why? Shekvar kolo lachluchi shebehem, because the liquid has disappeared. Vafilu Rabbeinu Tam Oiser, Rabbeinu Tam is the one who holds the temet. Haynu mishum shasay mishum zelay kolo kolo lachluchi shebehem. Avlam sarfam bevede kolo lachluchi siyayin. Vinisha rak efer hashmarim, hari hashmarim leinesru miyaylam, shenema, shenayma, shagama efer yas. Now he's very, they're very clear, Dogum Ravava. Dogum Ravava says, the longest is the following. Only the liquid of a grape is osur. The salad of a grape is mutter. If you can take the grape skin and be sure that there is no wine there, you can eat the grape skin. Grape skins are not osur at yayin nesach, only the wine. Yud beis chaydish is necessary to be certain that lachluchis shebehen has totally disappeared.
When I take wine and I dry it out, I have some salad left over. But that remains in the grapes
and
the things. So why do you say it's not there
anymore? It's a good kasha. One second. I will get to your kasha. First, the way the Rav learned. The Rav is saying, Lachluchis Shebehen is kala, is disappeared. And since the Lachluchis has disappeared, it's mutter with Yud Beis Chaydish. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you have to soak it as well to get rid of the Lachluchis. But if you're sure the Lachluchis is gone, it's mutter. See, this is the Shas kasha. that when you burn something where only the liquid is the gufa iser, you can be sure the liquid evaporated, and you're left with the afer of the sediments or the afer of the grape skins. That's the way the Dogalim Ravava learns. The Dogalim Ravava is the first shita that the Hechsherim rely on. That according to Dogalim Ravava, if you have any method, you have a chemical method, any method to get rid of the lachluchis, then it's mutter. You don't need your base chayde, it's just a way of getting rid of it. Now, you have to have shacha. Yes. Shmar were even sitting in the wine, even worse than the grape skins. It ran down shacha and settled in. Now, there are some kashas. What? There's no chaticha nasna veila, it's sort of efshalasaitim, what you're able to separate it. Now there are two kashas that we would need to deal with. One is the question of blias. We know that if you soak something for 24 hours in treif, then the item itself has a blia of treif. Now, let's say I would take a different liquid that's treif. I have orange juice from Arla. And I were to soak a piece of meat in orange juice. And then take the meat and dry it. Make dried meat out of it, yud beis chaydish. We never heard that you can kasher it. All the lachluchis is gone. But we understand that blias are not lachluchis. Blias are absorbed in the kli. My pot has blias. It means there's liquid in there, that if I squeeze it enough, I'll get liquid out. I don't think so. It means there's a blia there. So, if you say chaticha nas nevela, certainly. Even without chaticha nas nevela, there should be blias there. So what's going on? That's one kasha. That's not a kasha on the OU or the OK. That's a kasha on the Dogalim Ravava. The second question is the question of the fact that we are going to learn later in Sifta Zion that if you let wine stand by itself and dry, you end up with some sort of tamsis hanikrash olav. You end up with, I guess you would call it grape juice concentrate. You end up with the H2O component of the grapes disappearing. It might be 90%, 95%, 99%, but you're going to be left with something. So these are two problems. Now the first problem, Rav Belsky in his tshuva on where he's mounted the cream of tartar, writes that kimluhu lechazal, shatn the dogam mava must be chazal, kimluhu lechazal. They had an understanding that after yud beis chaydish, it's all gone. There's nothing left. We have this Kabbalah. Yud beis chaydish is adequate. So you must be kimluhu lechazal in the mitzias of the wine that after yud beis chaydish, it disappears. The dogam mava seems to say hold that way. Yeah. It's not a tam ki ikar because the shear is shisha. Well, that's half so and half not so. When it's kosher wine and it's bottled by shisha, it doesn't become asa. If it's already treif and it mixes with other things, so that's the machlokes tazer shach. If it mixes with water, it loses the chashivas of yayin. You're right. And if it mixes with other things, with the achaluk ideas. Here we're not saying that it depends on that. Here we're saying that that somehow kimlu lachazal, that the lachluchis is totally gone. It's like there's a concept of efshel asayf day mutter that if it's efshel to separate. By yain to rabban on heim amru veheim amru. By yain dairais it would be different. Are there differences between the
rishon?
Stam yain, I understand. So then you would have to say this doesn't apply to really yain nesa. Maybe you're right. Therefore, okay. So kasha is still a kasha. Yeah. Now Rebelsky does bring a raya, a very nice raya. He springs, I think it's a night of Yehuda, who asks, Chazal geyser ena ben yaimai ato ben yaimai. A part that's ena ben yaimai doesn't ask him in atayr. Midrabana ena ben yaimai ato ben yaimai. So he says, why weren't they geyser? And Rebbe Yehuda asked, why aren't the guys after Yud Beis Chaydesh Atu Teich? What's easy to make a mistake? If I tell you don't use it for 24 hours, it's a lot easier. Tell you don't use it for 12 months, you know, by the time 12 months comes, is it 12 months, 11 months? I don't even remember where I was a year ago. So why weren't they guys after 12 months or to type 12 months? They view the answers. The Chazal only answered things midrabanan when there's a little bit of Isser that still exists there. There's some Isser. After 20, 24 hours, there's Isser. It's Isser pogum. But there's something to hang your hat on to ask him in the Rabbanah. When something has kolam imenu ha'issa l'gamri, says Chazal didn't make takanis the Rabbanah. You might think of some takanis the Rabbanah where they did, but that's what Nabi Yehuda says. The lashon of Nabi Yehuda is exactly like this, that after 12 months, kimlu l'chazal, that zero is left, there's nothing left. Now, this is clearly the opinion of Nabi Yehuda. The million-dollar question is this. What did the shach hold? Well, we want to give a hechsher. We don't prefer to give hechsherim that are good like the night of Yehuda and not good like the shach. So the question becomes, what is the machlokes night of Yehuda v'hashach? So here you have two equally difficult approaches. I'll give you two choices. And we'll come back to these two choices in a gra later. You have two choices. We know the night of Yehuda shita. Dagum Rabav and night of Yehuda the same thing. Don't remember Nabi Yehuda hold that after 12 months, kol ha'alach luchas l'gavri, the liquid is totally gone. The issue is, why did the shach, reject the Nabi Yehuda's teretz? The shach is this kasha. So you could say two ways. Either you could say that they're arguing in Metzias. The shach hold is not kol ha'alach luchas l'gavri when you burn it. When you wait, you'd base chaydeh. She's my the Togum Ravava. It's called Allah Lufus Lagami. But he is the kasha. Why does burning it make Afron Mutter? Togum Ravava holds that burning it is called Allah Lufus Lagami, just like you'd base chaydeh. And the Shach will hold, no. After 12 months, I might have called Allah Lufus Lagami. But within 12 months, there's still wine there. The wine also burns. The Afer is Afer of the wine. And therefore, he says he is kasha. He owes if Afron should be asur. So, according to this first approach, we have a benefit. The benefit is we're saying Shach and Dogam Ravava both agree that the heter is based on the lomdis of kol alach luchas l'gamri. Their argument is limited to a case where you burn the mixture of grapes and wine. Dogam Ravava says when you burn grapes and wine, all the liquid evaporates, and the Shach says no, the liquid also burns; it also turns into Aether. So this is one way to learn, and this is obviously those who want to be Megal, the best way to learn, because we're saying now that the Lachluchis is gone, everyone's Matir. They're arguing in Metzias, when you burn it, does the Lachluchis burn or does it disappear? What's less enjoyable about this is we typically don't say that they argue with the Metzias. Now, a Machlekes Achreinim could be a Machlekes in Metzias. We say the machlekes in Shas, we have a Kabbalah from the Rash, but there's no machlekes in Metzias in Shas. So Rishayim apparently could argue Metzias, Nachrayim certainly. This is the first approach. Now this is the approach of Belsky in his Tshuva, which he wrote, which was printed originally in one of the journals, and Belsky just gave out a sefer Shulchan Halevi, where he has basically all the things he had previously printed are there. And what? Shulchan Halevi. There's probably some other Svarim you put up. This is Shulchan Halevi. Manas Halevi is on Rus. No, this is Shulchan Halevi. Anyway, he writes there this approach. He says that everyone agrees that it disappears. Shaila is what happens by burning. Now, there's a mashmois to him from the language of the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yudalit. The language of Shulchan Aruch at the end is in Loitimda Masurim Afili Yavsham B'tanor. Which is mashri. If you do temet and then you soak it and then you miyabish it b'taner, it sounds like that's good enough. The drying it in taner is good. Burning it, that's the machlokes. So this is the one approach, which is an approach to be makel. There will be a second approach. To come to a second approach, you would have to have a different explanation of yud beis chaydish. And that explanation would be that yud beis chaydish accomplishes that the Isser turns into Heter. That if you're going to say that we have kashas, to say that the lochluchis is gone, we have kashas. The ablius absorbed in the thing. What happened to ablius? There's the tamtzus hadavar. Even after you're bechaydish, you see there are traces of something on the bottom of the container. So the second approach would be to say that Chazal said after you base chaydish, the wine becomes heter. It turns into heter. It's not wine anymore. It's no. When it's dried out. We're not talking about a bottle of wine after you base chaydish. We're talking about the wine mixed with the chatzan of vizagim. That after you base chaydish, the iser becomes heter. Chazal had such a havana of yain. We'd have to figure out how to understand it. Now, if we're going to say that's what the shach held, then we're going to have a problem with the Echsherim. Because then the Echsherim is certainly good like Dogam Ravava. But then we're going to have to figure out if we can understand that it should be mutter other ways. We're going to say, if you dry it chemically, it's also Issa. We have this Kabbalah Yud Beis Chaydish and nothing more. Now this approach, which is argued by some of the contemporary, those who have problems with the grapeseed oil, talk about it, and we'll see. Grapeseed oil is a tshuva nechsam sefer, brought in Pesachei Tshuva Tess, which we're not going to end up doing this week. We'll do next week, but it revolves in a great degree around this, and the issue that will be a raya to this mahalach. I'm not saying it has to be, but that's brought as a raya is the case of Sifta Zayin. Sifta Zayin, it talks about the fact that wine barrels have a layer of, call it sediment, or call it tamsis, call it concentrate, along the inside of the wine barrel. That's what happens when you store things for a long time. You have a cement truck, it pours out the cement. So every time it pours out cement, it's left with a thin layer of cement on the inside of the cement truck. So a film of cement. So the same thing is true about wine, that it sits there for such a long time that along the layer of the barrel, there is a thin layer. Now that layer is discussed in Sifta Zayin. And that layer, it says, also it discusses a heter of Yud Beis Chaydish. Now, if that heter is a heter of Yud Beis Chaydish, is similar to this heter, which I guess you would think so, then it should apply here as well. The same lumdus is there. There, it's hard to say that kol halachluchis, there's no wine left. You could argue. You could say that the concentrate of the wine is not wine. That those are really little pieces of salad, and the wine is kola. But it's more logical to say that it's naseh heter after Yud Beis Chaydish. So, the Gra in Lamed Hay on Sifta Zayin will say, Yesh Misha Omer, that Tamsis Yain HaNikra Shal Dafne HaChavis is Mutter. The Gra will say, Kimai Shmarim Shemutter Achi Yud Beis Chaydish Afil Loitimdei L'dasa Rambam. He says, like in Sif Yudalit. He compares Tezayin to Yudalit, which sounds like whatever we're going to say in Tezayin, we have to say in Yudalit. And if in Tezayin, which we're going to learn, we're going to agree that it's hard to say kol halachluchis shel hayayin, then that'll be an argument to be machmir. Now you have to remember, Dogam Ravava certainly holds kol halachluchis. That's for sure. The issue of this chumrah would be in the Das HaShach. In the Das HaShach, what's the din? Does the Gra agree with the Shach? Gra and Shach is hard to fight with. So this is the cheshbon we're going to have to make. Now, yes.
Do you get the kuda if you wait for you get to the chedushim, but you do something to prevent the drying?
If they're willing to wait, you get chedush. They don't mind the drying. Why should they use chemicals to let it dry? Let it dry in a natural way.
No,
you see, that wouldn't bother them.
You could make the coloring, the flavoring.
If they would want to stop it from drying. So I doubt we're going to be makel against. On the one hand, you'll be mamana shach. I don't know. Now, what? No, the cask is a totally separate issue, and that's separate. Now, the lamaisa when they make the grapeseed oil. There is a certain amount of controversy over grapeseed oil. There are those that won't use it, those who will use it. Someone told me they saw grapeseed oil this year, Pesach. I don't think so. I think Kedem stopped.
I did see
from Kedem?
I don't know what's
there. Because they made grapeseed oil 1 year for Pesach. There were Rabbanim who acid it, and they pulled it back. They didn't ask it because of Pesach. They asked it because of a concern. Now, I don't remember at the time which Rabbanim asked and what happened that time. However, what was printed in a journal, in the Ari Yisrael journal, I believe they had, was one of the complaints was the following. In the process of producing the grape seed oil, the grape seeds are soaked in water, but they're soaked in hot water. So the taina of the Isrim was that at that time they're putting in the hot water, there's still wine there. That's why you have to soak them. Hot water cooks. So the argument was that it's mevashel, and then they are bleis of wine in the seeds. And then how does that become water? So what they write is lefika chamahadrin amakbid, that the water is not boiled, it's just paishrim. Now here we scratch our heads because we're saying we're makel, even if you soak it, it's still kavush. And we're saying somehow kimlu lechazal, then nothing remains. So what's the difference if it's kavush or it's mavushal? There's no machlokes if kavush is mavliya. Kavush is mavliya, bishul is mavliya. If kavush is somehow mutter, why is bishul any worse? So, like, we scratch our heads to figure this one out. We don't really have a good answer. In Rabowski's words, kimlu lechazal, the metzias of yayin, is that it disappears. It's certainly what the Dogma of Abba held. But since we don't really understand it, it's hard to go forward and to be able to work with it. So this is the issue with the grapeseed oil. The issue with the cream of tartar, we still have to wait for Sifte Zayin. The issue with the other products, which are basically depend on what's here in the manual, we're going to get to yet in a later siman. For next week, in Yisrael Hashem, I hope to do some Sefer with you, this Tshuva on the grapeseed oil.